Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
Hello, hello. It is Wednesday night, so you know what that means. A hard cut by Ryan because he's running the show tonight. It is me, Ryan, of the Mark Order Podcast, joined as mostly always by my co-host, Joe. How are you doing, Joe?
Good, Ryan. We're doing a little counter programming, I think.
Yeah, we are. Well, we're doing, I think, multiple counter programmings tonight. So first, for those who tuned in or will be in and come in later and be shocked or listen later, yes, we started while Dynamite was still on because it is 10:18 and they are still in the heart of this match. So we're looking at at least a 10:30 show. And I'll be honest, I didn't have it in me to start at like 10:45 tonight. I figured a nice normal time. Plus, this match is just fun to watch, but I don't think this is like a huge story match. I mean, it's cool that the United Empire's there.
I was waiting for some kind of, you know, incidental contact between Will and Andrade.
I don't understand Andrade being on the team at all, to be quite honest with you. That makes literally no sense to me. Who am I to make that call? Won't be as late as we thought, because as we're talking, the match just wrapped up with Ospreay pinning. I didn't see who. Oh, Clark Connors of the Dogs, who, not shocked that I actually thought someone in the Demand would take the pin.
Yeah. Bishop, one of the two.
I guess the only significance to this match, well, I'll say the only, there's three. You have obviously the Andrade, Ospreay, but they're playing it as like two baby faces who respect each other. That seems to be the story they're going with now. But then you obviously have the establishing of contenders such as Ricochet and Gabe Kidd. And I like that. Like, immediately come out with two new contenders that they haven't challenged really before. And if it's been a while, if Ricochet did it at all. So
Andrade versus Gabe Kidd at Collision.
Clark Connors' gear is eerily close to the one person of the United of Andrade's, I guess. And so I couldn't tell for a second with the long hair who was fighting who. I was like, is he fighting Clark Connors and why? That'll be a fun match. Andrade versus Gabe Kidd. I'm glad Gabe Kidd's back.
That should be a number one contenders elimination match.
Yeah. I'm just glad that Gabe Kidd is fully back in the fold of of AEW. And I get what happened. He got hurt and then he went and did the G1 and all that. So it wasn't like he was not here, but for no reason, but still. And he gets the low blow in on Ospreay, that damn dirty bastard. How dare he? Doesn't he know Ospreay has to wrestle again? Uh-oh, here comes the chair.
Interesting.
Ooh, because isn't Gabe Kidd like a like an honorary member?
Yeah.
So while they do this walkout, we'll spend this whole time of, we're not going to talk much of the main event. It was a fun 10-man tag, I think. Pretty typical, but like we were saying, I don't see a lot of story point to this. It was kind of just thrown in there, and not that I always need story, but I think the night coming out of the best pay-per-view I've seen in a long, long time, I would expect more story beats.
Ooh, interesting. Watson comes in to intervene. Are you all the Death Riders? Are they all on Mox's side here?
So this is how they get the dogs out of the Death Riders.
Mm-hmm.
I've been wondering about that because I did, as much as I wasn't against the two, it just seemed like overkill to have the dogs and the Death Riders. Now, that doesn't mean the Death Riders are going to be friends with Osprey, obviously. It's just, I was waiting how that. And Moxley's staring down on Osprey. I think you're a little ahead of me.
I am.
Because that means something happened.
I like how they I don't know if it's how long it's been going on, but they always seem to like have a stack of people going after the title. Like, never the world champion. They're always like, I feel like there's six people who are, stories with. So he has like Mox, Andrade, he has Big Kid, you have MJF hanging out in his... All out, mate. All of them. Okay.
Oh, snap.
Moxley Osprey for the championship at All Out.
Oh, snap. That'll be fun.
Yeah. I am tempted to possibly go to All Out.
So that was tonight. I mean, did you, besides the reveal of the championship match and clearly looking to pull Gabe Kidd away from the Death Riders, what'd you think of the main event, the setup to it, whatever you want to say?
It was fine. We have this discussion on time where it's that many people going in the ring, where it's like 8 men or 10 men in a tag match or something. It's hard to kind of keep track of what's going on. I'm always looking at the stories of what's going on. Like you said, after the match was nice. Interesting to see what the United Empire does here while also in New Japan. There's kind of that weird given that pull with him and Callum. But yeah, I think it did a couple of storylines, but the match itself was fine. It's just, it's a vehicle from the story.
Yeah, no, that's it wasn't, but I still think the story was weird. Like, there was a lot of focus on the United Empire, which I don't think is an AEW story. That feels like more of a New Japan story, but who am I?
If Will creates an empire in AEW, though, eventually we can have a Forbidden Door, matchup between United Empire.
Yeah, that's true. I'd like to see Ricochet versus Osprey again. They have so much history. And of course, I think Gabe Kidd versus Osprey, and then you still have Andrade versus Osprey. And I love that they instantly set up like four or five challengers. That's what they should be doing at all times.
Yeah. What if we had a United Empire with Will, like Ilya?
I mean, he'd have to join, like, it'd be an interesting join because, like, he would he be an AEW only addition, or would he be like one of those New Japan split contracts where, like, he joins in the United Empire and he does some time there, he does some time here? I mean, I'd be okay with that. That's an interesting, wrinkle. I don't know why Scott George is holy helling us, but holy hell, Scott George. Yeah, that's an interesting wrinkle. I mean, so that was the main event. We're not done, clearly, but we started with the main event because we started. And that was the kind of the opener of the show where Ospreay went out and did his speech about how happy he was and all that. And then the typical challengers came out. I don't think the speech was anything special. That felt very much like a new champion moment to me, which is like the new champion comes out, starts to talk happy, and then all of his challengers arrive. Pretty, you know, a standard wrestling moment.
Yeah, the one thing I took away from it was he named all the world champions other than MJF. And that's where I'm actually expecting MJF to come out and interrupt him, but we saw a backstage promo after the match at Wembley with him. But yeah, I thought it was very intentional that Ospreay didn't mention MJF among the lineage of world champions.
Yeah, that's true. And MJF had a promo tonight where he was not pleased at all and said, you know, I think people are going to be getting their comeuppance one way or another. So we'll be interesting to see what devilish evil tactics MJF takes in the coming months.
And my favorite interesting MJF, by the way, like I love the like huge chip on my shoulder, world of me, just fiery attitude, pissed off MJF, rather than his smirky MJF.
So, yeah, no, you're right. That is a fun, when he's being bad, he can be very, very bad. So I'm kind of curious to see like what he's willing to do as the pissed off bad guy. So Scott George was very excited about, you know, Ospreay versus Moxley, which is going to be a fun match. There's a lot of story there. That's not a bad first challenger. Like, yes, every challenger named had some story with Ospreay, but this is the one that has the most story within AEW.
So, until then, I get like, some form of United Empire versus Death Riders, like 3-on-3 match or something.
Yeah, we're gonna have which I'm fine with. That's part of the reason I like stables because it gets a lot of guys on TV. You can have a bunch of different matches. And it gets those guys and it gives those other guys a chance to get over within a feud that may not necessarily be about them, but suddenly they have, you know, a few that they could get into. So yeah, I'm very excited for that. Now that was us talking a little bit of AEW Dynamite in the main event, but I will say we're starting the show. So how are you doing, Joe?
I'm doing well, Ryan. How are you?
I'm good. Kate is not with us tonight because I think she's doing a fill-in elsewhere. I won't, you know, I think everyone knows where, even though that would send you to her. You know, she's got to do what she's got to do with that bastard.
I feel like it's just a weird joint custody thing of Kate. I feel like it's, I don't know which one's the stuff, which one is like, the other parent here, but
we're clearly the one who has weekend visitation rights.
Okay, sure.
Let's just be fair. We got to establish what we are. We get the weekend visitations.
Are you like the Jim Carrey dad and Liar Liar? We're just trying to like win her over with baseball stuff.
I guess I could start trying to talk to her about Mariano Rivera and the 2000 Yankees. And I mean, it's not really what I want to do.
Hey, whatever works.
Yeah, whatever. But, you know, it is what it is. So this past weekend, we had what I would call one of the best wrestling shows I've seen and definitely a contender for pay-per-view of the year. If not, I'd say the leading contender. It was about 4.5 solid hours of just insane wrestling. We're not going to cover the whole thing. Ospreay versus Omega was incredible, and it wound up with Ospreay winning. Willow versus Mercedes, also incredible. Actually, every match was pretty good. The only match that there were two matches that were a little awkward. The trios Gino, and the only reason it was awkward is they timed it poorly. Sorry, I was going to say perfectly, and I was wrong. I was going to say perfectly awful, but no, I changed my mind. They timed it very poorly. For anyone who didn't see it, they basically, they did all their entrances relatively quick. They'd be like 2-3 minutes in between each one. And then they had about 10 to 15 minutes they had to kill for like, for their new, for the show to flip over from the buy-in to the pay-per-view. And the whole purpose of stretching it out for that is because at the beginning of the pay-per-view, that's when the new level debuted, which was awesome. Great moment. But man, that final 10 minutes was like, what the hell are we doing here? This is just so awkward. And especially because the story they told made it worse because they had all the good people eliminated except for like three. So like, it just didn't make sense. But the new level debuting evened it out. And then the men's casino gauntlet, it was fine. It just was, in a show of all these big hits, it wasn't the best. Like, it was good. Honestly, on another night, probably really good. It just, there was so much going on. Big G loved Kenny Omega's All Might entrance. Yeah, that was, for those who don't know, All Might is a character from the Japanese manga anime My Hero Academia. And they actually had the Japanese voice actor do the talk over, not the American. So he did the whole thing. They actually, I think, didn't even voice over. They just pulled the clip from the show, I'm pretty sure. But, you know, that was it. If anyone didn't get a chance. What?
Are you just going to have any surprises in the gauntlet match? When we had, you know, Andrade eventually win, but I thought maybe we'd get like a surprise in there.
So I am, part of that is that they've kind of, I don't want to say this, they're their own worst enemy in that regard, because they set, like, because they have used the gauntlet for debuts before, now whenever someone sees one on a major pay-per-view, they're expecting a debut or a return or something big. But there's not necessarily always those available. Like, they might not have had that guy to bring around. So, like, in that case, they probably should have just done, since Kate's not here, I'll say someone who I once aged, they probably should have had someone like ZSJ or someone come out. Like, just someone who's not signing with AEW, but just a fun moment, you know, of like, you know, here's to get the crowd. Because it, obviously, I think everyone thought it'd be Ilya. And if he's not available or he didn't sign yet or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But at the same point, they also, it's not like they have to give you that in that match. Like, it's not the, you know, it's kind of like the Royal Rumble. Like, everyone kind of wants something big there. And a lot of years that just doesn't happen. And then other years it does. Mm-hmm. So it's this whole, you know, WWE gets around it, and not in a bad way, but that's a good place for them to throw some NXT guys. Like, if they don't have a huge new debut, they'll throw an NXT guy because you can do the excitement there. So there's ways around it. No, I mean, it is what it is. It's definitely worth anyone's time to go back and watch if they've missed it. It's 4 hours. I will say 4.5 hours. I will say it's a commitment, but you can watch in double speed and think wrestlers are just insanely fast. But it is, it was very, very, very good. Hold on.
I'm waiting.
No. 4 out of 4 on the fun scale.
Ooh, not even a bloody good time?
There was minimal bloody good times. There was some, but they weren't like
Will and Penny.
Will bled.
Willow and
Will and yeah, but it wasn't like I saved the bloody good time for like
death matches.
Yeah, like when that. Yeah, like because even Darby's match, which was a compliment, a clusterfuck of a shit show, and I say it's a compliment because it's just a lot of fun. It wasn't like a bloody match. It was more like jumping off stuff, staying coming out, seeing sun coming out, like the whole. So that was who. He made his appearance tonight as well. He looks like he's got some athleticism to him. Yeah, I don't know. I would say it was fun, but bloody fun, I say, for like death style. You know, when we get to this table ladders and chairs match that's going to happen between all those, that might classify if they really bleed, because it's an extreme match that, but usually it's for like blood and guts. Scott believes Ilya should go to New Japan, probably, but they could also do that dual contract because money is an issue with that, with New Japan. I think sometimes for a lot of these guys. So then we move on. So we'll move on. We'll move into our actual Dynamite review. That was my very quick thoughts on All In. Jeez, I blanked on the name of a show that was I saw Sunday and is very popular. They started tonight's show with the highlights of All In to Machine Head, which I was shocked they licensed Machine Head for it, but I'm not going to complain. It's a great song. Makes me feel like I'm back in 1996.
Didn't they use it last year for whatever they
were? Did they?
Yeah.
I don't. I just.
Like when they're in London, they play Machine Head.
What is that? I said 96, but yeah, no. It makes me feel like I'm in 96. Yeah. I was right. I nailed it. I feel proud of myself. Came out in 94, but it charted in 96. Got a machine head is better than the rest. Yeah, so that makes me feel like I was back there. Maybe they did, but just kind of crazy. We're not going to rehash the Will Ospreay thing. The only thing I will say is he did mention possibly having another match with Omega, which I don't think anyone's going to turn down because they're 2-2 against each other. So there is that a go to the rubber match, but I would save it for right now. I don't think you need to rush to that. No. So then we'll go to our first match, which was Shane Swerve Strickland and the New Level, which by the way, the new names are Awesome Austin Creed, which makes me laugh, and Kofi. I did not realize Kofi Kingston's real name was Kofi, which is really cool. So he could just be Kofi, so no one gets confused. Austin Creed had used his name, I believe, in TNA, and he used it online and all that. So everyone knew who he is. And they were against the Rascals, which was just a fun as fuck match. I mean, the Rascals are kind of getting a little built here. Now, granted, they lost this match, but they've been getting some wins. They've been kind of impressing. A lot of back and forth moves, a lot of double teams. I think they used this match as a chance to really show off Kofi and Creed's familiarity with each other and the way they could do, you know, double team moves. They do eventually win with, what did they hit? The New Level hit their double move, and then Swerve hit House Call. So I don't know if Scott says he was Consequences creating TNA, sorry. But so they won. After the match, as they're walking up, the Young Bucks come out, and they have a stare down with the New Level, which if anyone knows, the Elite and the New Day. And they had a lot of fun rivalries when they couldn't wrestle each other. What'd you think of the match? What'd you think of the post-match?
The match was super impressive. I thought, considering you're taking, you know, Swerve and New Level and having them together versus the Rascals, where I can't imagine these teams have had that much in-ring time with each other. The way the match went with, like, how fast things moved, and there was barely, like, I didn't feel like there was ever a hiccup. It just was so seamless, was impressive. Watching Kofi and Austin, they seem to have that little pep in their step since coming to AEW now. Like, there's just kind of that initial rejuvenation that some people, when they come over here, that's been fun to watch them just kind of go at another level, pardon the pun, in the ring. And for the Rascals, Myron Reed just stood out to me tonight. The things that he does in the ring, and the one move where he took a guy over, like a cutter over the ring, over the top rope, and it ended up like falling to the outside and hurt the other person. That was super impressive. And then I think Swerve's first house call on Desmond was, when he was doing a back handspring and swerve him with that guy with the house call, that was rad as hell. So yeah, I was just overly impressed with how well everything came together between these six people.
Agreed. I think that well, I think it's impressive how quickly Swerve and the new level gel. They're a lot of fun. They're going to be a good team. Now, the question I'm going to ask you is, how long do you think they keep them as a trio? Now, they've already hinted that they'll go after the tag titles, even if they got the trios. But how long do you think they leave them as a trio?
I still think they have to leave them as a trio long enough to get the Elite versus them.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's, you're going to have Kenny come back, and I think that's what's going to be the match. We have the Young Bucks in the ring. It was a kind of funny promo where Matt's like, we're not going to complain because we've done, because I should say this for anyone who didn't see All In, the Young Bucks lost because Christian Cage hit the, I forget which Young Buck, probably Matt or Nick, I don't know which one, hit him, it's going to be one of the two of them, hit him with a wrench. They said a wrench in a loaded cast. I don't think he ever got the wrench in the cast. I think he was trying when he turned around to do it. But anyway. So Matt's like, you know, we've done worse to other people here. And then they kind of slide into, but are you satisfied? Are you happy with how that happened? It's kind of like, we're not going to complain, but here we are. We're complaining. This led FTR to come out with Stokely. And he's kind of like shocked that what the way Matt Jackson's kind of complaining. And then he hypes up FTR. And how dare the Young Bucks ask for another title shot. And now that FTR is back, the Bucks aren't getting any kind of shot type deal. And then out comes Copeland and Cage. And, you know, Cage cuts a very heelish promo. Like, it doesn't matter how you won, just that you won. He takes a shot at the new level by saying he's surprised that no one out there is so embarrassed that they'd be willing to take a 50% pay cut, you know, hence the new level. And then Cope gets on and says he's not pleased with how it happened. So he has a solution. All Out, it's the three teams in a match that might involve chairs, it might involve tables, and it's probably going to involve ladders. So we're getting a TLC match at All Out. What do you think?
I'm all for a CTL match. I was interested that they decided to focus on these three teams only initially for this one, considering you had so many tag teams come out at All In to confront Cage and Copeland. So I'm interested to see, you know, what we do with the new level in the meantime, what we do with mostly machine guns in the meantime, you know, like what do they do with those tag teams?
Yeah. So the Motor City Machine Guns did come out on at All In and kind of like didn't say anything, but it was kind of like, there was a moment in All In after Christian and Copeland won where, like, you know, Christian Copeland, the Young Bucks still in the ring, FTR came out, then the Motor City Machine Guns came out. That order might reverse. I think it were reversed. I think it was MG, and then FTR, and then the new level. To kind of basically be like, look at our fucking tag division. I do think everyone's been crying for the Bucks, FTR, Copeland, Open Cage TLC match, that they had to give that to people. I think what you're going to see is Motor City Machine Guns building up themselves on the side, beating other teams, kind of making themselves undeniable so that they're doing their own thing. And then they'll just naturally step into the number one challengers as soon as this triple threat happens. That's kind of my guess. Yeah, be interesting. It'd be very interesting. I do laugh at Tony Khan's press conference. He said, you know, the plan was originally just to have Motor City Machine Guns debut at All In, be a big moment, but they were in Detroit. How do you not debut them in Detroit? I'm like, you know what? That's fair. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that's a moment. We then move on to what will be our insane match of the night. which is Darby Allin versus Mark Davis. This match was crazy. I mean, from the beginning, Darby gets thrown off the stage by Mark Davis. Mark Davis sent him. They go in the crowd, and Darby jumps off the entrance to I'm blanking on the simple word. What do they call those? The entrance to walk in.
The ramp?
No, the entrance ramp. They have another, but yeah. The entrance at the section. It's just a typical Darby match where he's using his body to get around and fight Mark Davis. Before I continue, Big G asking a very important question. Has Machine Guns even had a match in AEW? No. Because the entire plan for them was to debut in All In, but they happened to be in Detroit when they got them signed, so they showed up. So they knew they weren't going to wrestle until after All In, but Tony just couldn't help but debut them in their hometown. It was kind of like, whatever. But back to this match, Darby is all over the place, jumping off the top of things, throwing his body at him, which is a great thing for Mark Davis, because Mark Davis is a big boy who just tossed Darby around. But in the end, Darby Allin wins with a pair of coffin drops. What do you think? Oh, and afterwards Then he gets beat up by RPG Vice until Steve Borden, the son of Sting, makes the save. Looks really good. His drop kick's insane. However, a returning Josh Alexander comes and beats up Steve Borden. So that's how that ends. What do you think of the match and the beatdown after?
You know, the match is, like I said, it's crazy, but at the same time, I felt like I've seen it before. I feel like, matches against the guy are kind of the same. I feel like he just ragdolled a lot by the guy, whether it's Bernie King, Mark Davis, or whoever. And then, how he finds a way to coffin drop him two or three times and gets a win. It was a fun match to watch. Like I've seen it before. Interesting to see how AEW is really going all in with Steve Borden being relatively green, only training for maybe 2 years now. But athletic as hell, plenty to work with. And to see, I'm glad we got Josh Alexander back. I think I made my note of he looks like a small, vicious version of Jason Statham.
Yeah, he kind of does. Yeah, he is a built boy. I will say this: he's getting in the game at like a DDP age of in his mid 30s, but this is wrestling anymore. That's young.
Yeah.
I think he might even be. Yeah. Jesus. Well, his dad wrestled too. He was like 60. Yeah. I think he's like a year older than Darby, which is funny. All right. I just thought it was interesting. And I'm excited for Josh Alexander to be back. I'm very curious to see what they do with him, because I feel like he was on the path of one of those guys who sits in the Don Callis family, but slowly starts to break out and do his own thing. And he got hurt. And that obviously changes.
I would like if the Don Callis family somehow, how there's this dissension with Knight and Kyle Fletcher, and they're kind of like these guys who are still in the family, but they feel like they're hanging on by a string in the family. I would like one of them or both of them to eventually leave here soon, and then Don to really get behind Josh Alexander and get him up to that level of Fletcher and Kevin Knight.
Yeah. I think someone's coming out of the Don Callis family. I don't know which of the three. I think Okada's staying in, so it's going to be Fletcher or Kevin. I think one of them's out because they are teaming up on Collision. It's Collision, right? Their team. I mean, they're in a but they were not happy about it. And usually, when people get unhappy with the Don Callis way of life, you can kind of see the end is near. So, I think we're about to see one of them leave, and I'm kind of hoping for Kevin Knight, but it might be Fletcher, because Fletcher with the Okada thing,
But at least one night we'll get those.
Yeah. And then we move on to Alex Winza versus Megan Bain. This is a singles match, which is a half rematch of their all-in match where the Brawling Birds beat the Divine Dominion. This is, I don't mind when tag feuds do this, because it's a way to use wrestlers where you give them a singles match, which is two of the singles thing, because obviously tag is different than singles. This is a hard-hitting match. It was, I think it made Megan Bain look a little bit better than Alex Windsor personally, but Megan Bain did win by pinfall with the Mega Bomb. Afterwards, she continued to Cross came went in and they beat up Windsor. Jamie Hayter goes to make the save, but she gets beat up a little too. Oh no, sorry, that was during the match when she got beat up. I'm confusing my post and after. In the match, there's a moment where Cross and Megan Bain are hurting Alex Winter and Jamie Hayter tries to get around, but she kind of gets knocked to the side. And then that's kind of what enables Megan Bain to win. And then I got a little confused because during the match beatdowns led into the post match beatdowns, which is a little whatever. So what'd you think of this?
The hard-hitting match, I kind of like these little matches, especially right after the champion dropped the titles. I thought we needed a little bit more anger from Megan Bain from the jump, but we didn't really get to the vicious side until that back half match. She hits Windsor with the championship belt. So I guess that helps protect during the loss, but I think I would have liked it if we could have had like a verbal stake on it. Hey, if Megan Bain wins, then they get on my rematch right away. I know most champions get rematches, but I think it would give a little bit more of more incentive.
Yeah. Scott thinks this in. Say again.
I'm trying to think who else. I don't feel like they have any other contenders right now for the tag team championships.
We don't. So they've beaten the hell out of the Sisters of Sin. They never win anything. Maya World did just lose her title, but she's still in a feud with Persephone and the returning Britt Baker DMD, which we didn't cover. So she's back. Because Maya World and Hyun were brought in almost as a team, and I'd like to see them kind of go back to that. Not that I don't think Maya World's a star. I just think the tag division could use more star power, and I think they were a great team together. You have the Inspiration kind of messing around with ROH. You could bring them up. I mean, ROH, there's the talent in the company. They just don't use it.
Well, Jesse McKay is pregnant, so.
Oh, well, then I didn't know that. Okay. When did that come out?
I don't know, a few days ago.
I don't pay attention. Okay, so no, not them. But they have other talents down there that they just don't use. ROH actually is a thriving women's division if they were just to bring it up. But they haven't, they got a, Big G Sync, Stat, and Harley. I don't love that because they feel thrown together to me, but I get what you're saying. I want some women's teams who are like the men's side, which is that they're teams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Divine Dominion eventually kind of turned into that, where like, and they're doing that with the Brawling Birds a little bit. Like, I get you have to turn them into it, so maybe that's the Stat and Harley thing. But Stat and Harley always, because I guess Harley just teams up with so many different people, it doesn't feel natural to me. Like, she teamed with everyone.
Well, I mean, if Ruby Soho comes back, she can team with someone.
Yeah, that's true. I forget she's still out there. We then move on to, there's an interview with Renee Paquette, and was it Renee or was it someone else?
Might have been Lexi. I think
Lexi. Might have been Lexi. I apologize. I'm having a night. But Chris Jericho's given an interview, and he's like, "Hey, I didn't win, but I didn't lose because Nick Wayne got pinned." There's logic to that. Nick Wayne lost. Nick Wayne rolls up, starts talking to Trash to Jericho. Somehow he's 21 and has 10 years of experience. I don't account experience from 11 to 15 as like real, because like, what is your body really doing? But whatever, who's me? And then they start brawling. So clearly that's going to be a feud, which Scott, Lexi did all of yours. Again, it's been a night. Well, good for Tommaso. He's out of the Jericho feud. And actually, I know people aren't going to love it, but Nick Wayne didn't have an AEW feud, and now he's feuding with Jericho. So it's something for him on the main show, and you know he's going to get TV time. So good for Nick Wayne. Do you have any thoughts on this?
No, it just kind of follows the formula. Nick Wayne's going to get one win, but Jericho's going to get two of them.
Yeah, that's the one thing. Then we have Mercedes Moné come out for her championship celebration. The fucking hat she had on, my God, it was a cowboy hat with like a veil. The fuck was going on? And I'm not trashing it. I just, Jesus. You know, she has a good promo, basically saying, I did what I said I was going to do. I, you know, took you, broke your hand, destroyed your smile, whatever. And then Tekla cuts in. She's in the crowd and basically saying, you know, you've had other challenges, but you haven't been toxic. So that looks like the new feud. What do you think?
I think that's what we all wanted once Mercedes won the title, since Tekla wasn't really a part of All In physically. I know she made an appearance and talked on the microphone a little bit, but I thought that, one, I thought Mercedes' celebration would get ruined. So good for her for having a celebration that didn't get her end up falling cake or having things destroyed. Like, it was actually a pretty well done celebration for her. It was interesting because I thought maybe Mercedes a face. Okay, she came out, people were chanting her name. She was very like appreciative. And then she kind of had that heat turn in when she started talking about Willow. But then Tekla comes out, and I think we kind of want Tekla to be a face. She's still Tekla. She's not going to be a face or a heel. You know, I mean, she's talking about how Willow deserves it, whatever. Yeah, I like this dynamic of, you know, two people who, one clearly a heel, and Tekla is kind of the, you know, cage type of a heel, where she's a cool heel. I like that dynamic. Do I think she's going to beat Mercedes? No, but it'll be a fun promo.
Yeah, I mean, they're better off at this point with both Mercedes and Tekla to not even try to define them as heel first baby fish. Just let them be who they are, and they'll get reactions either way. Scott making me laugh that the hat Mercedes had on would be like a hat Sonata would wear. Accurate. Okay. But it's a hell of a hat. So then we have the match, our last match that we're going to talk about tonight. And this is a quick show. And sorry, peeps, without Kate here, we tend to go a little quicker. I'm going to blame that on her talking. We have a match that I don't see why we had on this show, which was AR Fox versus John Moxley. It was an Eliminator match, the Continental Championship. I mean, it was fun. AR Fox is a great wrestler, but Mox won with a Death Rider, which everyone knew was going to happen. And it's not so much that I hate that they do these matches on TV. It's just that you had such a long overrun. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. What'd you think?
It felt odd because it wasn't for the title. So it was like a contenders match. So it just felt like out of place on the card. And I mean, if it's really just to have to show that Moss is in the building for him to show up later in the night at the main event, whatever, I don't think we need the match for that. It could have been a collision match. I don't know. AR Fox is fun to watch. He reminds me of like someone who should be, you know, teamed up with the Rascals with what he does.
Yeah, he's very fun to watch, but it's just, you knew he wasn't going to win. And when I saw this match starting in what should have been the main event start time, I was like, oh god, wow. we basically got a 20 minute overrun. I'm like, Jesus Christ. But that was our show tonight. It was like I said, we're quick here. This is, you know, your Fallout show from All In. They tried to establish some new stuff, but
yeah, I feel like there's always a lot of talking.
I look at the matches, and you had Air Fox versus Moxley. You had Darby Allin versus Mark Davis. You had, like those two matches alone, I'm like, you didn't really need them. There was the other stuff. You know, I'll keep the New Level and Swerve versus the Rascals because that was New Level's first Dynamite match, and the Rascals are so much fun. And I'll even say Windsor versus Megan Bain because it continues the rivalry. But those other two matches, there was just no story progression on them. And so you're kind of sitting here going like, this is your first episode after the biggest pay-per-view. Maybe we could have. And I'm not the one who needs a story in every match, but I just think these, and after every pay-per-view doesn't need this, but All In needed a big follow-up. But that's just me. All right, Joe, when you're not here, where are you?
That's a good question. Where's anyone? You can usually find me, though, on social media. I still hang out there, @_AsianJoe. And Ryan, where are you at nowadays? Are you still doing history things?
I will be. I know I keep saying that, but other history things that don't become public have been in the way between real life work and working on some other history stuff that's not part of the podcast. That's unfortunately more important, to be quite honest. I haven't had a lot of time, but I'm trying to finish up a few episodes so that I have a backlog. So I will be. First of all, follow me on all socials @MarkWaterPod, and then my history is @HereForHistory, YouTube @_HereForHistory, Twitter, wherever. And with that, I will go to the banners or the media assets. Sorry, put our overlay, and